We're in the book of Revelation 22. If you want to turn to Revelation 22, verse 10. So last week we saw John bowing down and worshiping the angel that was giving him this vision, that was showing him these things. And that angel said, "See, thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren, of the prophets, and them that keep the sayings of the book. Worship God," is what he said. And so, obviously, John, he stopped worshiping this angel, and he stood up. And that brings us to verse 10. At the end of this vision, at the end of this revelation of Jesus Christ, we see some more things. So in verse 10, or Revelation chapter 22, verse 10, "And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." And so, who is this he that's saying unto me? Who's saying what to what? The angel saying to John. So this angel says to John, "Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." So to seal something up means to do what? Close it, seal it. I mean, it's not to be opened. It's to keep it shut for a long period till somebody that has the authority to open it up or something. You think of sealing the seal that was on Jesus' tomb. And they put a seal on it to keep it from being tampered with, to keep it from being opened. And so, but this says, seal not this book. Why? Why should it not be sealed? Because the time is at hand. We talked about that. Jesus can come at any time. And from the moment this book was written, Jesus could have returned and can return at any moment. He has not. The reason he has not is because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's just be out of his grace and out of his love that he has not returned. Because every moment, there's more people coming to Christ across the world that are saved because he delays just a little bit. But he's not tarrying. He's coming when he decides to come. He knows when he's going to come. But it could be at any minute. So he says, "Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." When he says, "Seal not," okay, this reminds me of back in Daniel. Let's go to Daniel chapter 12, because Revelation is not to be sealed, the book of Revelation. And the whole book of the Bible, because God knows that Revelation is the 66th book in the Bible. I mean, God knows that this is the last book of our Bible that we're going to have. And so when it's talking about this book, it's not only talking about Revelation, but God's talking about his whole book. Okay, but Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, at the end of the book of Daniel, which we know is like the revelation of the Old Testament, but in Daniel it said, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." So he was told to do what? Seal it. John's told, don't seal it, because the time is at hand. Daniel said, it said in Daniel, shut it up until the time of the end. So there's a big difference. So we weren't expecting the things in Daniel to happen right then at any minute. There was things, and there was some specific prophecy in Daniel 9 saying it had to be 483 years and there was a specific time. It wasn't imminent. These things had to happen before. First of all, in Daniel, before Christ could even come, the Messiah had to come, and then there had to be the second coming and all these things. And before Christ could come, the command had to be made to rebuild Jerusalem. So there was a lot of things that had to happen. So, but it was told to seal up till the time of the end. But in Revelation, seal not. Look at Daniel 12, verse 10. Or let's look at verse 8. "Because Daniel heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" So Daniel didn't understand. And he asked for more. In verse 9, he said, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." All right. So Daniel wanted to know more, and they said, "Go your way, Daniel. You're not going to know these things. These things are sealed till the time of the end." And it has been after Christ, when Christ came and that fulfillment, the prophecy was fulfilled in Daniel, we were now in the time of the end. We're in the end times, and we were from, you know, when Jesus rose again, when Revelation was written, it's been imminent that we're in the end times at any moment. So now Daniel is clear to us. We can look back at Daniel and say, oh, that's Babylon. That's the Medo-Persians. That's Greece. That's Rome. This was Jesus. It's not sealed to us anymore, but it was sealed to Daniel. But there's a big difference in Revelation. It says, seal not. Daniel said, seal. But we don't seal in Revelation because the time is at hand. Look at verse 10 here in Daniel 12. Okay, right after they said the book is sealed to Daniel. Then verse 10 says, many shall be purified and made white and tried. So you can see many people come to salvation. They're made holy through Christ, but they're going to be tried as well. There's going to be persecution, trials, and tribulations. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So it's basically the wicked are going to continue to do wicked things. But the wise will understand, they'll come to Christ, and they'll be purified and made white. So it's an interesting verse there in verse 10 of Daniel. The wicked are going to continue to do wickedly, the wise are going to come to Christ, they're going to understand, right after he said, seal the book up. Now let's go back to Revelation 22. Because basically the same thing is said in Revelation 22. In verse 10, the angel said unto me, he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of the book, for the time's at hand. That's the opposite of what Daniel was told. To seal it up, it's not till the end. Now it's don't seal it, the time's at hand. But then go to verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Pretty much the same thing we saw in Daniel. That the wicked will continue to do wickedly. The righteous will understand that we purified and made white. The same kind of thing here. The unjust are going to continue to be unjust. The filthy will continue to be filthy. The righteous will be righteous. The holy will be holy. What does this mean in verse 11? Because it sounds like Christ is just condoning it, or this angel is just saying, you know, if they're unjust, just let them keep on going and being unjust. And I think, especially looking at in verse 10, seal not the sayings of this prophecy. When the book of Revelation is read, you would think that when you read the book of Revelation, you say, this is what is going to happen to everybody. If you don't believe in God, if you don't, you know, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't fear God, look at what's going to happen to the world. You would think everybody would turn. But is that the case with Revelation, with this prophecy? No, the wicked go on doing wickedly. The filthy go on living filthy. But those that trust Christ, we look at these things and we read this and we see truth, and it doesn't make us say, I can't believe God's going to do that. I'm going to turn from being, you know, a Christ follower. No, believers are going to believe the prophecy. They're going to continue. But those that are wicked, you would think this prophecy, this book of prophecy, the whole Bible, in fact, the Word of God, would turn them towards them. But the Word of God's a sword. And it divides, it separates, and it's sharp. And it cuts you and it turns you to Him, or it cuts you and turns you away. People hear the Word of God. It's not just something they're like, oh, yeah, that's neat. I mean, they either hate it or they love it. If somebody really preaches the Word of God and they really hear the Word of God, it's going to either turn them towards Christ or turn them away. You don't hear true preaching and just say, well, that's, you know, it's fine. I mean, if somebody comes in here that is not a believer and they hear preaching, if you just read the Bible to them, they're going to hate the things that are said. They're going to hate us. And the Bible says that we'll be hated. Jesus Christ Himself was hated. So here we see, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And when we look through the book of Revelation, we see what's going to happen. Let's go to Revelation 9. I mean, even after God starts sending these plagues upon the earth, and they know that it's God, Revelation 9, verse 20, you would think they would turn. You'd think these wicked and these filthy people would turn to God. But, verse 20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. The unjust are going to be unjust still. The wicked are going to be wicked still. The filthy, filthy still. No matter what God does, He shows them the Word of God, gives them this prophecy. And this is the final thing. If the Word of God right now doesn't do it, nothing's going to. I mean, this is the final page of the Bible. He says, you know, this is the prophecy is at hand. The prophecy is written. If the Word of God doesn't do it, nothing will. Not sending plagues. Nothing's going to turn it. After all this stuff, they still will not repent of these things. Let's go to Revelation 16. This is the truth. It's just what Daniel, what it said in the book of Daniel. So Revelation 16, verse 9. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. The wicked are going to still do wickedly. Verse 11, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. The wicked are going to continue to do wicked. Come down to verse 21. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed of God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. They're not turning to God, they're blaspheming Him throughout this whole thing. In Revelation 19, verse 19, we see the final thing of these wicked, those that will not turn to God. Revelation 19, verse 19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies. And these men are going to come together, gather together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. So there is no change, there's no repentance of these people. And Jesus said that he came, I mean, not to bring peace, but a sword. And people are going to hate his word, they're going to hate him, or they're going to love his word and love him. There's really no middle ground. And so when you look at Revelation 22, verse 11, it describes what's going to happen. This prophecy is not to be sealed. The time's at hand. Blessed is everybody who reads this prophecy. It should be preached. It should be taught. It should be told. But yet, the Bible prophesies. Them that are unjust will still be unjust. He which is filthy, let him be filthy. But for those of us that believe, though, we read this and we see righteousness of God. We see the power of God. We see that the holiness of God, and that this has to happen to put things back the way they should be, like in the beginning of Genesis. So verse 12, and behold, I come quickly. Again, his return is imminent. It could happen at any time. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. So there's rewards for believers in heaven. He will come back. The reward that we get, everybody gets as believers, is to be with God, to be able to enter into the city, as we'll see. To be living forever, for eternity, in heaven with God. Also, according to as our works are, we have other rewards. There's rewards for those of us that go through persecution. There's rewards for those of us that turn others and preach the gospel. There's different rewards in heaven. And in 1 Corinthians 3, it says that there's no other foundation for the works that we do that man can lay other than that is that it is already laid, the man Christ Jesus. Everything has to be done on Jesus Christ. If it's done for our own glory, it's going to be burnt up. But if it's done for His glory, the works that we do will be rewarded for those things. And you can read that in 1 Corinthians 3. So He says, I come quickly, my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So who's speaking here? I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. We would say Jesus. Let's go back to Isaiah. We're going to end tonight just looking at this Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Isaiah 41. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Isaiah 41, verse 4. Isaiah 41, verse 4. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? Who's created everybody from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am He. Here's I, the Lord, as the first, and with the last. Interesting. He says, I am He. Let's go to Isaiah 44, verse 6. Isaiah 44, verse 6. Because there God said, I am the first and the last, but I'm with the last. Which is interesting. Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Read that again. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. How many is there? One person or two? You're right, there's two. Okay. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Then he goes, so there's two talked about here, but then it's talked about in the singular, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Talks about one God, but right here we see how many persons? Two. God the Father, God the Son. I am the first. I am the last. Before Abraham was, I am, Jesus said. So we see here again, I am the first, I am the last. Beside me there is no God. This is God's title, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Let's go to 48 verse 12. But I thought that was interesting in 44 verse 6, where it talks about, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. And we see the Trinity. We see this throughout the Old Testament. The concept of one God, but multiple persons. Isaiah 48, verse 12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am He. I am the first. I also am the last. So God goes by this title, the first and the last. And so when we go to Revelation, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. It's not a new title for God, the first and the last. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. The Alpha and Omega is just what language? Greek. And so adding that in, so in Revelation he says the Alpha and the Omega, writing in Greek, that, and that means we would say the what? The A and the Z, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So Revelation chapter 1 verse 8. First of all, let's go to verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Who's going to come with clouds? Jesus Christ, how do you know that? In Acts chapter 1, he went up into the clouds, right? And the angel said, why are you standing up gazing up into the heavens? He's going to return in like manner as you've seen him go. That's why he's going to come back. He went into the clouds, he's going to come back in the clouds. So you know in verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, is talking about Jesus Christ. And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Who got pierced? Jesus Christ. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. So we know we're talking about Jesus Christ. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. So here we again, we see Alpha and Omega. It's God. We saw that from the Old Testament. We know it's Jesus Christ saying that here. He calls himself the Lord. He is and was and is to come. We know that Jesus Christ will return. So here, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, which is just what God the Father used, just what God used in Isaiah, is used for Jesus right here. Verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in the book and send it to the seven churches. So Jesus, again, calls himself the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Come to verse 17. I guess, yeah, verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Who was alive and was dead and is alive forevermore? Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, I am the first and the last. I mean, we cannot deny, and there's obviously different teachings that try to deny that Jesus Christ is God. But in the Old Testament, you have I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end, and that is God. And now we see Jesus himself saying, I am the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is God. And the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is God. Look at chapter 2, verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last. Who's that? It's God, which was dead and is alive. So who specifically? Jesus Christ. God in three persons is the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Revelation 22. So he said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Verse 12, he told us that he will come quickly. His reward is with him. He's going to give to us according to our works. He's not talking salvation. Talking rewards in heaven. But every word we say, every idle word is going to be judged. Everything's going to be shown. We want to remember that. And to pray, as it like says at the very end, verse 20 of Revelation 22, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." So we look forward to His coming. He can come at any minute, any moment. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the clarity it has, and thank You that it is all true. And we can base our life, trust our lives to this. And Lord, I just ask that we can live according to this week. All of us, as we go out into the workplace, into wherever we're going this week, allow us to continue to grow, to be able to walk in the Spirit, so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, to pray without ceasing, to sing in our hearts, make a melody in our hearts to You, Lord. May everything be done with You as the focus for each of us here tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.